Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone.
What's your game of the night?
The one on the TV right now, Boston and Toronto.
Oh, we got a football game too, though.
This is much more important.
Okay.
Than the Cardinals and Seahawks. The Jays and the Red Sox.
I think the Seahawks-Cardinals game is going to surprise everybody tonight.
So we'll be keeping an eye. We'll keep you up to date on this. This news just came down from the Canadian Football League and the Edmonton Elks, and it is extremely sad news. The Edmonton Elks are passing along that owner Larry Thompson has died. Larry Thompson,
That's
who purchased
crazy.
The Elks last year, grew up as a huge Edmonton Eskimo supporter and, of course, took over the team last year. Larry Thompson has died is the news from the Edmonton Elks. The ownership of the Edmonton Elks franchise will remain with Deb Thompson, his widow, who is steadfast in her dedication to carry on Larry's vision to revive the Double E as a pillar in the Edmonton sports scene and a leader in his community.
So there'll be some tributes at the game on Saturday night, is my guest. Larry was very popular in the Edmonton area. Very popular business owner and sports fan.
Deb Thompson, in the statement from the Edmonton Elks, does say owning the EE was a lifelong dream. My only regret is he isn't here to enjoy it. I'll continue to support the club and community as it has become my dream as well, as of our family. They do say that Larry had surgery, suffered complications from a surgery,
had a
hard battle for many weeks, but the complications were too severe, and they've asked for privacy. So, of course, Larry Thompson took over as the owner of the Edmonton Elks, their first ever private owner, August of last year, just over a year ago. And that news just came down today that the owner of the Edmonton Elks, Larry Thompson, has died. And we'll pass along our condolences to Deb Thompson, the Edmonton Elks family, and someone who, when he took over the team, he took it over because of his passion for the Canadian Football League.
Football.
This is a lifelong CFL fan, attended his first game in Edmonton over 50 years ago, in 1972.
I was in Edmonton when he took over the team, and I remember he was he did a lot of press at the beginning of that takeover as well, and very passionate football fan. Yeah. That's
so,
sad loss for Edmonton.
Sad loss for the Elks to have a champion like Larry from that community as a private owner. As we continue here on the Green Zone, of course, the Riders will be in Edmonton on a Saturday, and you know there'll now be tributes for sure for the owner of the Edmonton Elks, Larry Thompson. That news literally
just came down.
As we were coming from out of break, as the Edmonton Elks sent out that note to the media. We'll continue here on the Green Zone. Again, the Jays and the Red Sox are underway. Better than last night. They're out of the first inning without giving up any runs to the Boston Red Sox. Louis Varland is on the mound tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays as they are tied with the New York Yankees atop the division. The Yankees also in action right now. They are taking on the Chicago White Sox at Yankee Stadium. More coming up here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. As the Jays and the Red Sox, early going, no score there. Our NFL Pick'em League is underway going into week four of the National Football League. Tonight you have the Cardinals and the Seahawks. That is not one of the games, so we always pick of the four games selected. Minnesota against Pittsburgh in Dublin, Ireland. Did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said about his excitement of going to Ireland? Locker?
I did not.
He can't wait. Do you know what his favorite beverage is?
Is it
it's Guinness out draft.
Okay.
He said Guinness draft. He's like, I'm not a big drinker, but Guinness draft is my
Are you a were
I was.
You?
Yeah. Not
were
anymore,
you a Guinness
unfortunately.
Guy?
Yes, I was.
I do the Guinness at St. Patty's Day. I do a shot of Jameson and I do a Guinness every St. Patty's Day.
Is that it though? You're not a Guinness?
No. During the regular. And every time I sit down and I have one, whether it's draft or out of a can,
it tastes so good.
I'm always like, why don't I do this more often?
It's so
the
good.
The thing about it too that surprised me, and this came up, I don't know why we were having this conversation.
I'm going to start crying because I miss it so much. I haven't thought about Guinness since Aaron Rodgers really said it. And then I went into my feelings and went,
whew. It's not as many calories as you would think.
No. It's actually, I think it's scientifically proven you can live off Guinness.
Well, you can live off beer.
Guinness in particular.
There's guys that do the beer diet. Have you not heard about this?
I have.
So they'll go, and you can lose some weight, too.
So that game's in Dublin, Ireland.
It's very healthy for you.
Minnesota, Pittsburgh. Locker and I are going with the Vikings. Britton and Belton are going with the Steelers. The majority of the FM crew are going with the Minnesota Vikings. Philadelphia and Tampa. Whew. This is going to be interesting. Three of the four of the sports nerds have taken Tampa Bay. Everybody, including Locker, has taken the Eagles. So you're the only one of us who has taken the Eagles. Every FM person took the Eagles with the Eagles in Tampa Bay. So that is a huge game for the ratings and the rankings.
I took the Eagles.
Yeah, but all the FMs took the Eagles too. Three of the four of us, everybody else on your side, Locker, we all took the Bucks to beat the Eagles. The Chiefs and the Ravens. I am the only one on the Green Zone who took the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody else won the Ravens. It's in Kansas City. I don't know. You guys have noticed the Ravens are giving up like 40 points a game, right? You've noticed this?
Looks like you're going 2-2 again this week.
And then the Green Bay Dallas Sunday Nighter is our fourth game. Every single person in the league has picked the Green Bay Packers except for Sully.
I was going to say Sherry.
No, it's Sherry went bananas last week off the Tide, but Sully this week, he's taking the Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers. We'll see how that works out for everybody with the Green Zone Pick'em League.
Who's winning?
I am.
Locker, you're winning.
I got to reconsider some things right now. Sorry, I sounded so surprised.
Well, and I had the Ravens. If they had won on Sunday,
yeah, you would have went perfect.
Or on Monday night, I would have been 10-2. I would have had a perfect week. I would have been 10-2.
Who's in last?
Just about.
It's a.
You're tied with Sherry, who went 1-4 last week.
1-3, yeah.
1-3.
Yeah. Not a good look. Meanwhile, here on the Green Zone earlier, we were debating because TSN is announcing their NHL top 50 list, Locker. And we did some sleuthing today in the Green Zone Lounge because they are down to their top 10. They have not announced the top 10. And we're like, well, who's on the top 10? You can kind of figure it out on who's won awards and nominated for awards and everything else by who's not yet listed. So here's going to be the top 10. I don't think any of these are not going to be in the top 10 and completely off the top 50 list. David Pastrnak, Kirill Kaprizov, Austin Matthews, Nikita Kucherov, Nathan MacKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Connor Hellebuck, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes, and Connor McDavid. So we're defaulting that McDavid's still going to be the best player in the NHL. Although I'm starting to reconsider that. Because he only had 100 points last year that they might. But come on. Connor McDavid is number one. He's the best player on the planet.
TSN, listen. When you see a list and everyone's talking about a list and everyone's freaking out about a list.
They do that on purpose.
They do that on purpose. Like, I remember there was a couple years ago, they released greatest guitar players of all time and Taylor Swift was in there. And I was like, what do you do? And then I had a moment where I relaxed and I went, oh, they're doing that so that everyone freaks out and that people talk about their stupid list and then they go click on it. Right. And I don't think...
She wasn't very high on that list. She was like 90th or something like that.
They put her in there to upset all the guitar players and musicians in the world. She wasn't supposed to be on that list.
Taylor Swift.
She's a great writer.
She also knows how to play the guitar. And have you ever seen her play the guitar and actually be a musician?
I didn't bring.
I don't think you have. You just think her of a pop princess who has zero talent, as she is not that.
I didn't say she had zero talent. I said they put her on the list so that this would happen. This is exactly why they put her on. So I'm going back and forth in my head about how TSN delivers these lists.
But McDavid's number one.
I'm thinking they might not do it just to upset everybody. And
McDavid's number one. Let's not get crazy. McDavid's number one.
Are you sure?
No, but McDavid's number one. So
you trust TSN?
I trust that they will put Connor McDavid number one, because come on.
Really. I don't know.
He's the best player on the planet.
I think you need to prepare yourself for the possibility that Matthews is going to be number one on their list.
Come on. Now that's ridiculous. Matthews is nowhere near number one. Didn't have the year last year that would prove it. So if Connor McDavid's number one, who is number two?
525. Mark this down tomorrow when we have to go back to the tape.
Number one, Connor McDavid. Number two is... who is it? 1-877-332-8255. I have Nikita Kucherov, although...
that's a good pick.
I already have... I wouldn't put Nikita Kucherov number two, but I already know he's not in the top 10 because they put Sidney Crosby number 13. Crosby would still be my number two.
You know what surprised
me? Up and down the ice, Sidney Crosby's the second best player on the planet.
Barkov, not in the top 10.
That also surprised me that Barkov wasn't in the top 10.
That one surprised me.
Who's your number two?
I put McKinnon. The first time I did the list, I did it like how I thought the TSN staff would try to upset everybody in the country. And then I was like, oh, no, do the list the way you want. So I have McDavid, McKinnon, Dreisaitl, Kucherov, Makar, Hellebuck, Pastrnak, Matthews, Kaprizov, and Hughes. And that's how I would present my list if somebody cared enough to ask me who I thought the top 10 would be.
My top five are McDavid, Kucherov, Dreisaitl, McKinnon, Makar.
So you have Dreisaitl at number three as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I also have Matthews outside the top five, but I'm not sure that's going to be the list tomorrow from TSN. We'll reassess the damage tomorrow here on the Green Zone and ask Drew Romanda who his top five players in the world are. I wonder if he has Macklin Celebrini on that list.
Favorite foods tune?
Pardon?
Favorite food tune? This is mine.
Yes? Fraggle Rock.
No, it isn't.
No.
Maybe.
Pretenders, I don't mind that.
All My Life I like too. That's a great track.
I was supposed to go to the Foo Fighters. A lot of people were supposed to go, and unfortunately, of course.
Thanks for the Taylor Swift texts. That's fun.
You're the one who said
I'd
she
also
wasn't
like
talented.
To point out, I didn't see she was. I said she's a very talented young lady. I said she doesn't deserve to be on the top 100 list.
And I checked. I recalibrated. I'm like, was she? She wasn't on the top 100 guitar players of all time list. She wasn't on that one that they did. She was number eight on the top guitar players of the last 20 years. They did it in 2020.
Yeah, you're right.
And
that's
she was number eight of the last 20 years,
which is
abysmal. But this wasn't. This isn't. They were taking like.
It's not, no. We're not, no. And she can play a 12. Everybody can play a 12-string guitar. If you can play a 6-string guitar, you can play a 12-string guitar.
I can't play
it. It's the exact same chord progressions. The scales are the same. It's just the six. They all have it. They just double up the strings.
You okay?
I've heard this from countless Swift fans. She's not a genius. She's just a really good marketer, and she writes a catchy tune. and she's done very well for herself, and I wish her all the best in life.
If you want to trigger Locker, I think we found the subject. Okay.
Well, you started defending her right away.
I just know that's a touchy subject for you, and you know me. I'm a troublemaker.
All right.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We're getting set for the Riders and the Edmonton Elks coming up on Saturday. We had a chat with Tom Gazzola earlier this afternoon. I am saying this because there's some sad news in Edmonton to pass along.
Yes.
Owner Larry Thompson has died earlier today. The news came down actually just in the last half hour. The owner of the Edmonton Elks, Larry Thompson, died after complications from surgery. And his wife, Deb, in a statement, says she will continue to own the Elks as her family want to carry on his legacy. It was a passion for him and the family with the Edmonton Elks. He's been going to games since 1972, over 50 years, loving the Canadian Football League, and it's sad news. But we were previewing the game with Tom Gazzola earlier, and Rider fans, it sounds like you're starting to fill the stadium. 30,000 seats might be sold for this one.
Yes, it's approaching 30,000. There's demand for tickets to this game. And
is this 1998?
Almost. as I think it was David Beard, we just got off the Zoom calls with both teams. David Beard says, man, Riders fans infiltrate everywhere. And we've seen it here at Edmonton over the years, so there's going to be a lot of lighter green in the stands. And yeah, it does bring a good vibe. I love it. And the other thing, too, is I know the Elks are coming off two, like, heartbreaking last-second losses in Hamilton and Toronto, but that Labor Day rematch where they actually opened up the second deck on the east side, which was great to see. The lower bowl was pretty much full. They got a good game from the home team. It felt like games in the Mike Riley era. It felt like games in the Ricky Ray era.
Yeah,
And listen, it was only half the stadium. And then we saw, we had a listener today point out that it's almost 15 years ago or 16 years ago to the day where the Riders and Elks played. I think it was September 26, 09, in front of 62,000 at Commonwealth. I remember being at that game, and that was a vibe, too. So, listen, there's a lot of work to be done. And anytime the Riders come here and the weather is decent, it brings the vibe. And when fans around Edmonton are really getting behind this team, which it seems like they want to, and they need to be rewarded with wins, it is a good combination. So we're going to have a good vibe in that stadium, and hopefully we get a good game too on Saturday.
Tom, what's the difference between this Elks team and the team that started the season at 1-6?
The defense. I'll start with the defense. It doesn't give up 30 to 35 plus points a game almost automatically, which it was earlier in the year. There is a noticeable difference watching Cody Fajardo go to work with the offense compared to Trey Ford. They tried Trey Ford, you know, for five starts. They gave the ball to him, and a 1-4 record wasn't going to suffice. So a lot of talk around the team when Fajardo took over, and since he's been the starter, is about the presence that he has, and he has been a winner in the league. And you know, you could hear it in the tone of guys' voices when they talked about him, and he's kind of a guy that they go to for wisdom. So there's been the growth of the defense. Listen, it's not perfect by any means. And then Cody Fajardo being at the helm offensively has led to a little bit more success. The O-line has, you know, it has had a tough time protecting Fajardo at times. I think it's easy to say that Trey Ford's ability to scramble and get out of slippery situations is better than Fajardo's, but a culmination of those things, there's some maturation happening. This is a team that has talent, and it has big names on it, and it took some time for them to come together on both sides of the ball. Special teams has been all right. They've gotten some good returns, and the coverage team, not perfect, but has been decent. So, yeah, I point at the defense not getting absolutely just shredded every night as important, and then the fact that the offense has a little bit more efficiency has been important. So we'll see what shows up on Saturday, though.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Edmonton Sports Talk as well. Of course, you see him on the sidelines in Edmonton with CFL on at TSN. Are you on the sideline again this week, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Who is the most outstanding player for the Edmonton Elks? Is it Cody Fajardo, who's helped lead the turnaround, or is it Justin Rankin out of the backfield?
I think it's Justin Rankin. And you know, Fajardo has been obviously pivotal in helping this team put together some wins and some big moments since a tough start. But Rankin, when he pops off, guys, whether he's actually just getting it on a handoff or, you know, it's a little screen pass, or sometimes he winds up going deep and they find him for a big play. Like, he, anytime he's out there, generally is making explosive plays. The games that the Elks lose are the nights where the opposition D is able to contain Justin Rankin. So I think he has been like that explosive spark that they need night in, night out. And when you don't allow that to happen and snuff it out early and often with Justin Rankin, usually the Elks end up losing those games. So Fajardo obviously is instrumental in this team having success, but it just feels like Rankin at the right time comes up with that huge play. So I think it's safe to say it's Justin Rankin. And it's crazy that he was a guy that was invited to camp last year. G. Roy Simon found him, and he got cut pretty early. He figured he was done with football. He's glad that he went and came up here and tried it out. And then when he got the call after G. Roy took over for Chris Jones, he made an impact right away. So, and he's a really likable guy as well. He gets it. He says crazy things in interviews. He'll say stuff if I have a halftime interview with him. I'm like, what did he just say? And you just start laughing, and he like stares at you after. So he's a good personality, great player, and I think someone that they can really build this offense around going forward.
It is interesting that this team had the start that they had, and they're starting to roll right now. Do you think any of it has to do with Killam getting sort of comfortable in his role?
Yeah, I do. And the one thing you hear from players when they talk about Mark Killam is they really like him. You know, there's a genuine sincerity to his passion, and he seems to actually give a crap about his guys, and he wants to know about them. And you know, sometimes that's cliche. We've been around sports long enough that you can kind of weed out the garbage cliches, but there is a deep passion. David Beard was just talking about that. He's like, I think this guy, like, when he's yelling and screaming and trying to give you a bro hug when you do something good, he's not doing it for a show. He actually means it. And when the cameras aren't on and the microphones are put away, like, he's like that as well around the room. And that's where he gets the buy-in. So he's grown as a head coach, and that's a process. And then, I mean, J.C. Sherritt being a defensive coordinator for the first time, there was a lot of learning that had to happen there. Obviously, he's been around the game for a long time, and I know he was a DC a little bit in college ball, but it's different. He's got to readapt. Now he's the guy. He's got his staff that he needs to work with. So there has been that adjustment. But the other thing, too, with, you know, the call it a turnaround or going back in the right direction for this organization, like the guys that are at the helm in leadership roles as coaches and management, you could tell, and I think you can say with certainty, that they are legit. You know, there's not a lot of BS, and that's been missing around here for a while. And especially having a guy like Chris Jones wear three different hats at the same time because of budgets and the board of directors and everything that's been going on with the Elks in the last 5 years, that's a tough ask. But, you know, it seems like they've started to iron out those scenarios and put the right people in place. And it starts with a leader like Mark Killam. And so far, so good. There's been bumps in the road, but the legitimacy to him and his staff and everybody, I think you could kind of sense it around here talking to fans of the team and even casual fans that might not pay attention day in, day out, but they can kind of see that there's something emanating here in a good way.
Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, CFL on TSN sideline reporter. Okay, we've talked Elks. Is Connor McDavid going to sign an extension here, Tom? What's going on?
I think so.
Before the puck drops of the season? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying. I figure they get something done because, it's agonizing for the fan base. You guys know full well what this fan base is like. And They've been stressing out and going through all of the emotions, waiting for McDavid to put pen to paper. Obviously, the outside noise and the intrigue coming from there has only heightened the concern for Oilers fans. And I think when he speaks and you know, people pick apart every single word of every single sentence when he discusses the situation, I think that's deep diving a little bit too much. I feel like he's saying the right things to just allow the Oilers brass and his camp to make sure that they get something done. And that ambiguity, you know, you're not putting yourself into a corner where you say the wrong thing.
He's also not good with the press. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. He's just not good. And it's fine.
And it's deliberate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's just saying what he needs to say to let everybody that's taking hold of this situation get the job done, cross the T's and the lowercase J's and I's as well. So when you want to dot those, I feel like if he truly doesn't want to make it a distraction, he'll stick to his word and say that to avoid the distraction, you know, get it done before the start of the season and not have it linger over top. And like, listen, Craig Leopold in Minnesota going out and saying Kaprizov's the best player in the world and we're going to pay him like that, that's stupid. You just put yourself in a corner. And I think McDavid's smart enough and the Oilers are smart enough to just worry about it. And, guys, another reason why I think that this is probably going to get done, I think it's before the start of the season. Whether or not that happens, we'll see. I could be wrong in my prediction. But talking to staff, management, people around the Oilers organization, you're not sensing concern or they're not, you know, kind of on pins and needles.
Yeah.
Because usually if things aren't going the way that they want it to, you could pick up on things like that, especially being around the team for so long and knowing some of the staff for so long. You could sense when something's kind of left of center, and I haven't gotten that vibe yet. And I've been around a lot the last few weeks, so take that for what it's worth, but I still think it gets done.
That is Tom Gazzola from Edmonton Sports Talk and the CFL on TSN. And once again, we pass on our condolences to the Edmonton Elks franchise. As earlier today in the last hour, they announced that owner Larry Thompson has died after complications due to surgery. He bought the team last August as the team's first ever private owner. The team says his wife and widow Deb will continue to run the Edmonton Elks franchise. And she says in a statement,
lost.
It is for that community in Edmonton. He's a proud Edmontonian, has been cheering on the green and gold since the 70s. So sad news in the Canadian Football League today. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Champs and Chumps here in the Green Zone. You want to chump the mascots for the FIFA World Cup,
yeah,
specifically the Canadian mascot?
Like, let's get a little bit more stereotypical. Is he holding a beaver and
Maple
the beaver
moose
chewing on a hockey stick?
Moose, Maple Moose for Canada. He's
weak.
A goalkeeper.
Weak.
What do you want?
I don't know.
A beaver named Bacon? Like, what else do you, what are we looking for?
I guess we could have added all the stereotypes, like I just said, but no. I saw it. I was like, what? Well, and the Mexico and the U.S., they got cool one. We got a silly-looking moose.
What do they got? Jaguar and eagle.
Huh?
We got a moose. Moose is...
Okay. But it was corny-looking, too.
Well, it's a mascot.
Anyway.
Locker's not impressed with the FIFA mascots. Our champ is the fan who caught Cal Raleigh, the big dumper's 60th home run ball last night. So it's going across the crowd, and he reaches up and he grabs it. It was bouncing around, but he grabs it. He's got the first catcher ever, fourth player in AL history ever. That ball, wow, history. What does he do? The kid, like two or three seats down, he just goes, "Here you go, kid. Have the home run ball." The Mariners staff came down, found out who got the ball, grabbed the kid, and was like, "You're coming with us," because they want to keep the ball for the Hall of Fame and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then they realized this guy gave it to him. So the Mariners are trying to find him to reward him as well. So that's a champ move to give that ball to a kid.